As I said earlier, welcome to a new year. And when we're at a new year, often we're thinking about the new things that God wants to do. For some of us, it's the new things that we want to do. But I believe that there is a sense in the body of Christ that God is wanting to do some new things. That would have been a good place to say amen, but that's all right. We'll let you just get some time to warm up this morning. But I believe it's one thing to hear about the new and get excited about the new. See, the new is different, it's exciting, it's fresh. But it's very different living in the new. So this morning I want to speak about embracing the new. And to go from looking at something and saying, yes, God's got new things for me. But to actually step into the new and make it ours. So that's my heart for you this morning, that we would be able, individually and as a people, step into the new things that God has for us. So let's start with Isaiah 43:19. I've got it for you in the Amplified here. It says, "Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive and know it? And will you not give heed to it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert." An awesome promise here from God that he will make a way in the wilderness. In other words, in the midst of our mess, our chaos, where we can't see a way forward, God's saying, I'm going to make a path for you. I'm going to make a highway for you. And some of you may feel like you're there this morning, where it's like life just seems a bit of a shambles and you're not quite sure what it's meant to look like or where you're meant to be going. And God's saying, that's okay. Because I'm going to make a highway or a way in the midst of the wilderness. But not only that, he goes on to say, and rivers in the desert. A desert is a place of dryness, a place where there is no water. And sometimes we can look at our life and it's like the things we've got are the things we don't want. And God's saying, I can give you a complete turnaround. Where instead of battling with sickness and disease, you are walking in wholeness and health. Instead of dealing with depression, you live in peace and joy. You know, there'd be a good place for some people to start to say amen this morning. Because I think there are some people here, you know what it is to be in a desert. Where the things that you are longing for, you are not seeing. But God's promise is, I'm a God who makes rivers in the midst of deserts. Not just some little trickle. Not just a bucket of refreshing water. I mean, that would be great if you're in the middle of a desert and you find a bucket of water. Wow, awesome! God says, no, forget the bucket. How about we have some rivers here? How about we so much turn your situation around that it's a complete opposite of what you've been experiencing? I had some people on board with me this morning. Good. Because I believe that's what God wants to do. It's taking us from the old and bringing us into the new. But the very first thing that it talks about is that when God does the new, will we be able to perceive it and recognize it and lay hold of it? See, that suggests to me that we could miss it. I don't know about you, but I want the rivers. I want the highway in the midst of the chaos. I want the road forward. But this verse in Isaiah says a question. Will you recognize it? Will you see it? Will you lay hold of it? God wants us to. So let's look at some of the reasons why we don't embrace the new. Some of the reasons why we have problems. Well, the first thing that we're going to do is we're going to look at the verse before. So verse 18 of Isaiah 43 says, "Do not earnestly remember the former things, nor consider the things of old." Folks, if our eyes are on the past, we won't see the future. What you have can keep you from what you can have. And it says here, do not earnestly remember. To remember is about our memories. And memories have an emotional content to them. Sometimes some of the things that have happened in our past that have put a memory in us are the things that can keep us from embracing the new that God has for us. The hurts, the wounds, the lies, the disappointments. And as we focus on those and as we hold on to them, they keep us from embracing the new. The Bible says that there is a time to weep and a time to mourn. And sometimes we need to go through that. We need to weep and we need to mourn about the things that didn't happen or the things that did happen. Why? Because God wants us to be able to put them in the past. I believe it's Psalm 30 that says, "Weeping endures for a night, but joy comes in the morning." And there's too many in the body of Christ that are stuck in the night. If you haven't found your dawn of a new day yet, maybe it's because you haven't dealt with some of the issues from your past. And if you don't mourn, you won't dance. And sadly, many in the body of Christ have been taught to deny, to push it down, to pretend it doesn't exist, to fake it till we make it. And we have buried things, but we've buried them alive. Yes. If you haven't processed some things, maybe there's some things you need to process. Get some help if you need to. Do not remember the former things, nor consider. That word consider is an analytical word. It's where you focus on something and you go over and over and over and over and over again. Maybe it's an offense that happened. Maybe it's a failure. Maybe it's something you did wrong and you go over it again. And you redo the sums in your mind. And you think, if only I'd done this, or if I hadn't done that, or if this person hadn't have done this. And the word says, do not consider the former things. Let them go. Why? Because God wants to do a new thing. So if we want to embrace the new, one of the first things we have to do is let go of the old. If we are always looking at the past, we won't see the future. Where are you looking? What's your heart attached to? Because God wants to do something new in your life. Second area. Luke 5:39, Jesus speaking, "And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says, the old is better." Do you know? Jesus knows that we don't like the new. It's uncomfortable. It's stretching. It's not familiar. He does throw in the word immediately. In other words, he expects that we will get used to it. One of the problems with embracing the new is the fact that it's new. That means it's different. It means it's a change. It means it's not familiar. It means we haven't got a grasp on it. It means that we have to adjust to the taste of the new. You go and live in a new country, they serve you up new food. It tastes different. Everything about the country is different. When God takes you into the new, it tastes different. Let's look at this scripture in conjunction with it. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." What's that got to do with embracing the new? What it has to do with it is the fact, oh, it's not showing up, unfortunately. Where it says the old is better, that word better is the same word using in the bottom line, "my yoke is easy." Exact same word. Jesus is saying, you don't like the taste of the new because the old is easy. It's comfortable. It's like a pair of well-worn shoes. You slip them on and you go for a walk and you don't have to think about what's on your feet. But you buy a new pair and you put your new shoes on and they rub. They're not comfortable. You have to break them in. And we expect that with shoes, but many times we don't expect that with the things of God. We think if God's given us something new, it's going to be comfortable. It's going to be so easy. You're right. No, it's not. It's going to be uncomfortable. And you're going to say, but the old was better. How many people do you know who have stepped into something new in God and then said, oh, it's just not me? They drank the new wine and said, oh, no, I want the old stuff. Oh, that's just not comfortable for me. I could never do that. That can't be God. That just doesn't feel right. Definitely can't be God. Jesus says, it's new wine, keep drinking. Get to like the taste of the new. And if you don't like the taste of the new, go easy on yourself. It's okay to recognize that you are struggling within you. In fact, depending on your personality type, you will struggle with different aspects of the new. If you're familiar with the DISC system, D's personality, the thing that they will struggle most with the new is the fact that they have no control, no predictability. They don't really know how it's going to work out. an I personality. It's connection. God takes them into the new. Where are my friends? Where are my relationships? An S personality wants security. God, I just want to feel like I belong. Don't like the new. I want peace. I want comfort. The C personality, it's like, but I don't know how to do this. What's this meant to look like? How do I do that? Different personalities. And when God takes us into the new, we have to learn to recognize our own heart. When God takes you into something new, and I believe he's got new things for each and every one of us, ask the Lord, Lord, what's my heart struggling with? And he'll tell you. Ray sang that song about God holding us in his arms. I remember when we went in to help start a church in Hawaii. I was pregnant. We had Rebecca. She was 1 year old. Went to Hawaii. We were helping to start a church. We weren't going to a job. We were just going to help start a church. For Ray, the issue was, what does that look like? What am I expected to do when I go there? How do you work for a church that doesn't exist? So God, what does it look like? Different personality from me. And that was his struggle with entering the new. For me, it was, I just want to feel like I belong. And I don't belong here. Where we were living, we were the only white faces in that area, and it's like they thought we were weird people. We did everything wrong because we didn't know the culture. We didn't fit in. But every night as I went to sleep and as I prayed, I went to sleep feeling like God just wrapped his arms around me, and I slept in his arms. Why? He knew. My heart needed comfort. I needed to feel that I was safe and that I belonged. Ray didn't need that. He just needed to know what to do. See, God will minister to you where you're at, but sometimes we need to recognize where we're at. When you're faced with the new, what is it that challenges you? And as husbands and wives, you'll find it'll be different things. Let's quickly look at this verse. Oh, not yet. Embracing the new. Number one, leave the old. Number two, minister to your heart. Let God touch you in your heart, the things that matter. Keep an eye on your heart. Bible says that out of your heart flows the issues of life. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. It's a verse that I love because that's what I need to have. That's what I need to recognize. That wasn't Ray's verse in going to Hawaii. His verse was, thanks be to God who leads us in his triumph. But that wasn't what my heart needed. I needed to know that God was going to catch me and that I was safe. You know, trapeze artists, if you've gone and you've watched a trapeze artist, the way that they fly through the air and they're caught, it's amazing. Do you know one of the first things that they make a trapeze artist do? Is fall. Because they have to know and trust the net that is beneath them before they have the courage to let go and fly through the air. See, Papa wants our hearts to know that he's there. He will catch us. He will hold us. And it's that knowledge that gives us the courage to fly with our God. God's calling you to something new. But first of all, He wants your heart to be able to rest and trust that He's there for you. Okay, we looked at this verse before in Luke 5 about no one having drunk the old immediately wants the new. But let's have a look again at the couple of verses before that. Verse 37. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. God loves the body of Christ. And often we talk about, you know, God wanting to pour out new wine and that. Do you know that God loves every aspect of the body of Christ? Whether we are talking about the most formal, right through to the most relaxed and free. But when God wants to do something new, He needs a new wineskin to be able to do it in. Because otherwise the wineskin gets damaged. Now, let's start by having a look at this word new. The word for new wine is neos. It means new in respect to time. It goes back to an Isaiah where God says, "Behold, I do a new thing." It's new in respect to time. But when it comes to the new wineskin, there's another word that God uses. It's the word kahanas, and it's new as to form or quality. It means a different nature from the old. It means fresh. It means pliable. See, God wants to work on our hearts and where we're at so that we are pliable and fresh and able to expand and embrace the new. That's why He wants to minister to our hearts. That's why many times we need to stop and say, "God, where am I at? What is it that my heart's struggling with?" And He'll show you. Why? Because He wants to enable us to be able to handle the new thing that He has for us and for it not to destroy us. God is a good papa. He prepares us for every aspect of our journey. You don't take a four-year-old and send them off to school was a 13 and 14-year-olds. They're not there yet. God wants us to grow so that we can handle where we are going so He can take us there. So number one, leave the old. Number two, minister to your heart. Number three, adjust your concepts. And this one's a huge one. This one is kind of where the rubber meets the road. And this one, I think, is the one that we struggle with the most. Because when you go into the new, you start to discover what your concepts and paradigms are. And many times we're not even aware of them till God puts us in a new situation. And all of a sudden, you will realize that the way that you do things and the way that you see things is different from other people. And it can be so unnerving, but God wants to take us through that so that we start to look at what our concepts are. How do we see God? How do we see life? How do we see what God wants to do with me? One of the stories that comes from my family And in telling it, I'm going to sound like I'm ancient. But when my parents got married, it was at the time when machinery was just coming onto farms. They lived on a farm, but they had a draft horse. It was when the traction engines were coming in. And Dad bought a tractor. Great thing to have on a farm rather than just a draft horse. But on the next farm to us was an old man, and I vaguely remember him when I was a little girl. We called him Smithy. He was Mr. Smith, but he was called Smithy, and he would come and help out on the farm. And one of the stories that my dad used to love to tell was that he would get Smithy to come and help him with some of the jobs. So he would put Smithy on the tractor, and he put the tractor into low gear, start the tractor off, and Smithy was fine. He just had to steer the tractor. And Dad was working on the implement behind. But what used to happen was that the closer they got to the fence, the more Smithy started to panic, because Smithy would start to pull on the steering wheel and go, "Woo boy, woo boy, woo boy, woo boy." And then at the last minute, he'd remember, and he'd turn on the steering wheel and swing the tractor around. But his concept in coming up to the fence line was that of working with horses. You pull on the reins and they stop. He was pulling on a steering wheel and nothing was happening. See, when we're under pressure, we have the concepts from the old that come to the surface, and many times they don't fit within the new context. And we have to adjust them. Thankfully, Smithy eventually learned that there was a brake on the tractor and he could use the brake and he could quietly bring the tractor around. Because in the early days, Dad had many fences to mend. But life is like that for many of us. And don't be surprised when God brings you into the new and you find all of a sudden that the concepts that come and the things that you want to do and the way that you want to react don't fit any longer. It's because you're in the new. And God wants to help you embrace the new and change. And guess what? We're not too keen on the change. It says here in Hebrews 11, I've got a couple of words in pale there because they're not in the original. Hebrews 11, our chapter on the heroes of faith, says this, verse 15, "And truly, if they had called to mind that from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly. Therefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them." God has prepared so much for us. But it's going to mean that we're going to have to be prepared to embrace the new. Will it be comfortable? No. Because God takes us beyond our comfort zone to bring us into the new. In finishing, in embracing the new, leave the old. Minister to your heart. Get a handle on where your heart's at. Adjust your concepts and live by your dreams. The Bible says, sing a new song. I believe it's part of giving voice to the dream that's in your heart. And for some of you this morning, you need to start to sing. You need to start singing the new song, because God wants to bring you in to the new. It's time to leave the old. It's time to lay hold of the new. But to do that, we have to be willing to embrace the new. Not just look at it, not just go, oh yeah, that sounds good. But we have to be able to embrace it, to walk through the awkwardness of being in the new and process the change that it will require of us. Let's pray. Papa, I know that you've got many new things for us as individuals, also as a church. And Lord, over each and every one of us here this morning, I speak courage. I speak that courage of even the trapeze artist that is willing to swing and let go of what they hold, that they might hold on to something new. And Father, for those that have already stepped out, because I know that there are people here this morning who have already stepped out into the new, I thank you that you will help them adjust, to minister to their heart, to find you as the answer to every heart cry. And Lord, to process through the concepts, the beliefs, the lifestyle, the patterns that must be worked through so that we might live in the new. So thank you again for everything that you have for us. We want to embrace the new. Amen. In finishing, and our time has gone, but I felt like I had a couple of words of knowledge, and if you feel like you've got a word of knowledge or a prophetic word for somebody, if you come up now, that would be great, because we'll give them and then we will release the meeting because our time has gone. First thing that I saw was I saw somebody with a can opener and cut into the can, and it's like, I'm committed. And I heard the expression, a can of worms. And I felt like there's somebody here who you've made a commitment and it's like, oh no, what have I done? I've said yes to this and it feels like I can't go back, and yet I'm so afraid of what that's going to look like. So somebody that's feeling like, yes, that's me. That's where I'm feeling at this morning. Or maybe you might want to just come forward later and not just put your hand up in front of others. That's fine. But if there's somebody who wants to say, yes, that's me. Darwin, did you have something prophetic as well? Okay. Is there somebody here that 72 is a significant number for you? Okay. So you're born in 70? You'll be 72. Okay, I'm not doing maths here. Okay. I believe God's got something for you, and in fact, stand up. It's amazing, but so many of the numbers that God gives me actually relate to you. So, Papa, what is it? That's all right. God's obviously got your number. and pun intended. I think God wants you to know that you've not been left out. And there's times when you feel like you've been left out, that you've been overlooked, that others have been chosen and you haven't. And there's times when your heart has cried out and said, God, why is it? Why does it seem like I'm not seen? Why is it that what you have given to me appears to be hidden? And I believe the Lord wants to encourage you and to tell you that you are hidden in the palm of his hand. And that many people want themselves to be seen. But when you're hidden in the palm of God's hand, what people see is the hand of God. They don't see the person that's in the hand. And the words I get for you are, heart, be still. Rest in being in the palm of his hand. It's a place of incredible intimacy and closeness. And I believe that one of the reasons why I keep on getting dates that are connected with you, and I don't know all the dates in your life, but I seem to be getting heaps of them, is because I believe God wants you to know that he knows everything about you, and that you are the right person at the right time in the right place. And relax, you are known in heaven. Whether you are known on earth is secondary.
That's actually quite remarkable, because the last three occasions when Pam has said a number and then said, does that mean anything to anybody? They've all been for you. She doesn't know your birthday, your wedding anniversary, your age, or any of that stuff. The last three have all been for you.
Well, the first one and the last one, and now this first one again.
Well, I can't remember exactly. Yes, but that's quite remarkable when you think about it. That cannot be a coincidence. So shall we say God's got your number? Yes. So actually what I saw when Pam mentioned you, straight away I saw, you know how you have a I think it's called a skein of wool, a thing of wool. Or,
yes, you're right.
Okay, skein of wool. And you know how when you're finished knitting, I've seen needles stuck through a skein of wool. And basically, I think that means like it's the job's finished or something, you know. I saw the needles being pulled out of the skein of wool. So you can take from that what you like. But to me, it means, you know, it's time to get knitting again. God has something for you, yes.
Okay, this is an unusual one. I got the word poltergeist. Had to look up what a poltergeist is. I'd heard of it. I'm just going to put that one out there. If that is significant to you, come forth for prayer at the end. I want to pray into that with you. Okay. I also got the number 39. Does 39 mean something to somebody? And I see you laughing at the front row here. It's not the number of your house, is it? Oh, God. Does 39 mean something to somebody? Like, I felt like the 72 had something to do with a birth date or a year or age or something. But this one, I'm not quite sure.
Do you have any meaning for it? It has a connection for me, but only secondary. It's not for me directly.
No, God just gives me the numbers, and then when the person says yes, I have to go, oh, help God, now what? Your daughter. Okay. Okay, stand up. It's me actually stalling for time. I want some others as well. This will be a real stretch because some of you don't know Kirsty, John and Lynn's daughter. You've been concerned about her, haven't you? It's actually not about Kirsty, it's about you. I believe the Lord is wanting to say to you that he knows everything that you are concerned about. In fact, you are a person that goes and looks at the details, at the numbers. And you're the one that looks at this number and that number, and how does it compute? And God's saying, I've given you a gift, but take it out of the worry realm. Because the devil would love to pervert that gift so that it becomes a weight upon your shoulder, rather than a gift that becomes like a telescope that enables you to see into the distance. So I believe the Lord is saying to you that the weights and the concerns that are on you, you need to know what it is to pass them on. And Jesus is saying, I'm walking with you, but you're carrying all the baggage. Pass them over. Let me be the porter. Let me be the carrier. Let me be the one that picks up the luggage for you so that you are free. And I see a picture even of a, like a little girl skipping and dancing along the road while mum and dad carry all the weight and all the luggage. And her heart is free. And I believe God wants your heart free, because there are some things that God wants to start speaking into your heart regarding the future. And he, as I said before, he wants to take that analytical thing and make it like a telescope where you can zoom in on something in the future and say, I see that detail, and God, I'm starting to pray into that, and I'm starting to declare in that. But if you take a telescope and you start to turn it around the wrong way and use it the wrong way, you will pervert the use of that telescope.